I am excited to share with you Quantum Life Mastery School. This is what we offer through Amplify Impact Academy, among many other trainings. However, this is our gold standard training. This is the training that allows you to become one of the top 1% of coaches in the world. That as a master practitioner, once you complete this training, you will be able to guarantee your results in writing to your clients, because you are working with neurology and they will no longer be able to do their problem after you've rewired that neurology. Through this Quantum Life Mastery Schools, you will get 4 designations as a Master Practitioner of NLP, a Master Practitioner of Timeline Therapy, a Master Practitioner of Hypnotherapy, and a Master Practitioner of NLP Results Coaching. And throughout this program, we build on the learnings as you go through the practitioner training, as well as some personal growth trainings to get to that master practitioner level. And this work is so powerful. You will literally, in just working with clients for 10 to 12 hours, transform their lives. And even better, this isn't just for coaches. We call it Quantum Life Mastery Skills because this is literally life skills. We've had people come through that want to be better parents, better partners, better leaders at work. One fellow came through because he knew the power of mindset with his golf game. He wanted to improve his golf game. When you do this work for yourself, your life improves, regardless of whether you're a coach. And the ripple effect of your life improving and up-leveling yourself has profound positive impact on your family and loved ones as well. So check out the link in the show notes to the Amplify Impact Academy Quantum Life Mastery School. Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness. And yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I am your host, Melissa Dealey, and very excited to have with me here today, Andrew Wilson. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. It's truly an honor to be here.
I am excited for this conversation and just first want to introduce you to the audience. Andrew is a practitioner focused on fear, pressure, and emotional reactivity. He is the author of The Enemy Within, Fear as Our Greatest Opponent, and the host of the Beyond Transcendence podcast. Andrew works with people who keep promising they will change, then repeat the same cycle when stress hits. And we all know that happens, right? His approach is direct and practical, built around mindset tools, nervous system regulation, hypnosis-based methods that aim to change the pattern at the root and not just manage it. And further to that, you need to update your bio because you've just completed master level trainings with us at the very end of 2025. So I would love for you to share a little bit about those new designations that you've received, and let's dive into the show and how you help people on their journeys.
Yeah, sure. I did take part in a master practitioner program that was taught by you and Billy, and it was wonderful. It gave me a lot of new tools to use, not only for my clients, but for myself. And it's been helping me a lot because there's still parts of me that fall into that same pattern that which I work with my clients in of being reactive and being defensive. I know it's not a part of who I am, but it's a part of the programming that I created. And a lot of the things I've been noticing, not just with myself, but with other people, that the way we fall into our patterns is because it's something that we're familiar with. We built an identity around it. And I built the identity about being defensive and not allowing anyone to push me around anymore. Because when I worked in the oil and gas sector, it's basically like going to war every day. It's like you were belittled, you were called names like useless or retarded. And then you had to work with this person for 12 to 14 hours straight. And you had to keep repeating that cycle. And then when I get off work, all I would want to do would be party to remove anything that was like associated with that part instead of dealing with it with the tools that I have now. See, the beautiful thing that I've understood about when you start to do the inner growth within yourself, and the more tools we pick up, the more we can problem solve our way out of, like, say, substance abuse or any sort of instant gratification that brings us joy, whether it be stress eating, whether it be parking ourselves in front of a television and watching copious amounts of episodes of shows. It gives you sort of the insights to change and to want to do better. And also, what I've picked up with writing my book is journaling is a really good way to dump whatever's going on inside of your head and basically onto paper, and then it's out, and then you're not thinking about it, you're not focusing on it.
Yeah, I love that too. I literally, when I journal, I think of that the words coming out my arm and out the end of my pen and then leaving it in there in the book. It's there if I ever need to go back to it. And so then my mind can let it go. And that's such a key piece of the work that you do and the trainings that you've come through is that our mind is literally creating our reality each and every single day. And what reality do we want to create? We can't stop the stream of consciousness. We can't stop the thoughts. However, we can choose which thoughts we want to bring in and ruminate on, and which thoughts we want to send back out into the ethers. And so, that just what you're saying about journaling there, letting it out onto the piece of paper, that's kind of like letting it go out into the ethers and not needing to ruminate on it anymore. And it is such a powerful tool. You also mentioned the word programming there a moment ago. And you know, the programming that I accepted. And I love how you said that because the fact that you said that I accepted is you taking responsibility, you being at cause for where you're at in your life. And it's only from that place that we can start to change. Now, I love that you work with people who are in a place of fear because that's a program. And unfortunately, too many people are programmed that way. So let's talk about what fear looks like in real life, and not just as anxiety, rather as that pressure that can turn into anger, into control, shutdown, or overthinking.
Well, I mean, when you're focusing on, like, say you have to meet a deadline and you've got all this pressure and you have no way of really to unwind it or do anything with it, then that is where the programming comes in, where you realize that this is happening to me, not for me. And why is this happening? What can I change about this? These questions don't really come to mind. It's more like, oh, this is happening to me. And you fall into this victim mindset where you're stuck in. Because I know myself, my shadow is victimization. So the second that my shadow wants to control me, it brings me into that victim mindset, because it's trying to control the outcome, because it's trying to keep me safe. It's the identity I built on. And people don't understand this because, well, one, they're not aware of it. So of course we're going to be in the effect side of things, because we're not taught the cause side of things. If we were taught the cause side of things, there would be no more mental health issues. There would be no more.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Or any form of like substance abuse. Because it's not the substance that's the gateway, it's trauma. So if you've not dealt with trauma, then yeah, it's going to push you into that mindset where you stay the victim. And as a victim for over 30 years, and I used drugs and alcohol to self-medicate, I blamed everybody else, and I didn't take accountability. And a lot of us out there, we don't take accountability because One, we were never taught to take accountability. And two, who wants to take accountability for something that happened to us in our life that we were the actual cause of it? There's not too many. So it's like working with those people that, and bringing awareness to them, showing them that this, you're on the cause side if you want to change, but if you're on the effect side, nothing's going to change.
Exactly, because on the effects side, we're just blaming and making excuses and telling this the sob story, the poor me story, over and over again, which, as you now know from our trainings, that's just deepening the neurology of that story. And in that place, there are no solutions. There are no resources to help you move forward. And yet, the moment you recognize, I have a choice. Okay, we're going to go and spend some time on Victim Island. We're all human. However, it's not a matter of whether you go to Victim Island, it's a matter of whether how long you stay. And when you have the tools that you teach people and work with people to help them implement in their own lives, they can make that stay on Victim Island way shorter and get back over to Solution City, which is where the resources are, the solutions, the community, the people that lift you up. And we were never meant to do this life alone. And life will throw us curveballs because that's where the lessons are. And when we can recognize those as the gifts, that allows us to be able to move forward.
Absolutely. And I mean, like growing up as a child, like you're told that you have to bottle everything down and push it down, especially as like at a man, because if you talk about your feelings, you're considered vulnerable, you're considered weak, you're a liability, especially as like in the oil and gas, if you showed any form of emotion, you were considered weak and a liability, and you were basically like pushed out the door. Like they would find ways to push you out. And it's almost like a bad habit too. Like I know with myself now, I catch myself periodically doing it, but it's like a bad habit that you like try to put away, but it's always there to like push you back into it. Because I did it for so long, so I developed the habit. Now, if it's going to take probably another 30 years to get rid of that habit, but I mean, I'm willing to do the work. But it's like we develop these bad habits, but we're unaware at the time that it's actually the identity that we're creating around the bad habit. That's why the bad habit stays there. It's like smoking. Smoking's a bad habit, but what's the identity of smoking? Well, you go to work, you have a cigarette, you go out, you have a drink of coffee, you have a cigarette. Now you built that identity around it, so now that's why the bad habit stays. Well, it's the same with our trauma. If we've done this for so long and we've been in this victim mindset for so long, then that habit is hard to break.
And the unconscious mind loves repetition. So we've just deepened the neurology of that. And in order to change it, we have to create new neurology and then deepen that neurology in order to have the mind automatically do something different. And to your point earlier, which I love what you said, we weren't taught this. And I fully believe that we can teach this to kindergartners, and we should. And the more we have these conversations and the more we get this message out to people to let them know that there is a kinder, gentler approach to healing where we don't have to rehash the trauma, and that we can teach this to young children because it's all using our unconscious mind, which is the home of imagination, we can start to have generations where 5-year-olds are learning this information. And imagine if you learned this at 5 years old. You would have saved yourself the 30 years of struggle that you're now doing all the work to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even like with the people that bullied me now, it gave me a new set of eyes to understand, like, okay, why were they bullying me in the first place? What was the actual cause for this bullying? Where did I attract this and what did it start with? And also, what was going on with this kid's life that he needed to bully me?
Exactly. And that gives you a little bit more empathy towards that as well. And that's automatically starts to take you out of Victim Island. So all of those are beautiful questions that you're asking yourself that move you forward instead of keeping you stuck.
Yes.
So I love it. And I know how much work you're doing. And I love how broadly you're sharing this work, particularly through your book and your podcast. So I would love you to share just a little bit more about your book as well, and what motivated you to write it, and what you want people to take away from it, and how people can buy it.
Oh, recently, what motivated me? I was just journaling. I did a solo retreat with a guy I met on my podcast. So I went out in the bush and he gives you a journal. So I wrote like in 3 days, I think I did like 74 pages in a journal. And it was like, wow, I should turn this into a book. And then I met this guy when I was podcasting. And he was like, oh, I'm doing a book writing club or a project. You want to try it? And I was like, okay. So I spent the money and he just gave me the outline. And then I just started to talk into the mic instead of typing because I can speak faster than I can type. So I started to speak it and record it. And then I just took all of the info and then I gave it to an editor. And the editor looked at it and said, this is something good. And what I've been learning from people is it's been giving them a voice because they didn't really have a voice. And it showed them that they don't have to play small. It also gives them like tools and techniques. Like I was always taught that from my father, who instilled it in me, money was the root of all evil. And then when I learned money was energy, it was like, oh, I got a great title for this, The Worth of a Dollar. So it like talks about and it breaks down how money is like energetic and how what you do with money, it makes it gives it a behavior. But money itself is not evil. Money itself is not good. It's just an energetic currency. And so, and also like the relationships I've been in, because I never really knew how to be in a relationship. Because when I was around other children when I was younger, if I was walking through the hallways, I would hear laughter and automatically I would assume that they were making fun of me. So I didn't know how to communicate with relationships. So being with my wife has taught me so much about like communication and understanding. So I wrote a chapter on what you can do differently in a relationship to so your other feels supported, seen, and you can hold a safe space for them. So it's basically to give people tools. And what I want people to take away from this is you can write any story, but the story you want to tell or it's the story you want to live is up to you.
I love that, and sounds like an incredible book that is packed with learning and then the tools to implement to go with it. And that comes back to one of our other trainings that we teach is in the all learning, all behavior, and all change is unconscious. So I love that you've incorporated that because people can read the book, implement the tasking, the behavior, and then they will get the change in their life, which it sounds like it was that book was downloaded to you while you were on this solo retreat, writing 74 pages in 3 days as a gift for other people. Based on your experience, this is what you've learned, and this is how you've come forward. And now, because you've done it, other people will realize they can do it too.
Absolutely. I mean, the only one that's stopping you is you. I mean, I was told basically my entire life I wasn't going to amount to anything. And that followed me basically through until mom passed away in 2021. And that was the crucial moment for me to shift the outcome of the life that I created to the life I want and the better version of me that was waiting out there that I couldn't see because I was blinded by so much darkness, and there was just no light there for me at the time because I didn't allow light to come in because I wanted to be the victim. I wanted people to feel sorry for me. I wanted to blame everyone. But then when I realized that there's just more to life than just staying in that one position, and plus, when you see your family members start to fade away from, say, Alzheimer's or dementia, it kind of opens your minds like, okay, there's stuff I can change so I don't end up in that situation. Because the one thing I learned from Dolores is the second you start in that state of mind is the second you start to die, and basically the soul but to, starts to leave. And while I'm here, I want to get as much out of me and about how I can contribute to the world than what I can not contribute and what I'd be rather be stuck with.
I love that. And you mentioned Dolores, which of course you and I know as Dolores Cannon for the listeners. And we have both thoroughly enjoyed her teachings. And we highly recommend that if this conversation is resonating with you, that you also check out the work of Dolores Cannon. So something else that I want to talk to you about is you work with the unconscious mind. And so let's talk about why willpower alone rarely breaks those habits that people create, you know, the triggers, the heat rising, the louder voice, the, you know, there's that trigger that causes a strategy to run. And as much as people attempt to change it with willpower, life happens and boom, they're back to that same old behavior, beating themselves up. So let's talk about why willpower alone isn't enough.
Well, willpower is like, it's like everybody making a New Year's resolution. You're going to go to the gym for, say, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks, and then you're back to square one. And it's like, oh, I have the willpower to do this. I'm like, if you really want to do it, you'll do it, because I really wanted to give up smoking, so I gave up smoking. I really wanted to give up drinking, so I gave up drinking. It wasn't willpower alone that did that. It was the want. It was the feeling of wanting to be sober, wanting to not drink anymore, wanting to not smoke anymore, because there was just no need for it anymore. And when you find unconsciously that you're unaware, because one, the reason you're smoking is because you have trauma you haven't dealt with. Drinking, the same with you drinking. It's just when you find the root problem, then you can understand that you're unconsciously self-destructive to your body, because you're
Or self
not focusing.
medicating, which is destructive to your body.
You're not focused on the root of it. You're focused on getting it. And then when you actually realize that it's your unconscious thoughts that are keeping you away from your trauma and not dealing with your trauma, then you understand that there is a path to getting over your addiction. There's a path to removing any sort of bad habit you've picked up.
And the unconscious is, or the unconscious is the home of our emotional body. So you mentioned, you know, you don't feel like you need it anymore, right? Because you've chosen a different path, and that's happened at an unconscious level with the neurological rewiring. And willpower is housed in the conscious mind, the 10% of the mind. It's so much more powerful to work with the unconscious mind and the 90%, and so much faster as well. And I love how you've done this for yourself. So you're not just someone out there touting this is possible. You know it can be done because you've first done it for yourself and then continued your training, because you also know, as you said earlier, that if we're not growing, we're dying, right? And you continue to learn and share this and add the tools to use with your clients to help them. So let's also talk about the moment of choice that people go through, and early warning signs that lead to that moment of choice. And I love how you call it a moment of choice, because some people might say, well, it's not a choice, it just happens. However, ultimately, everything is a choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had 5 near-death experiences. And the first near-death one, I fell like 27 feet, and I chose to lift the bar up. I chose to reposition my board, and I basically chose to fall. And then I made the smart choice to not panic before I hit the ground. So in that sense, yes, we make choices, and our choices either can make us or it can break us. It just depends on the choice we make. You can choose to drink and then drive and then accept the consequences afterwards. But you made that choice to do that. Just like we make choices to go to work every day or show up every day. It's a choice. And it's not that you have to. And that was the thing that I always did. I was like, oh, I have to do this. And then I started like going out and shoveling the driveway. It's like, now I'm going to choose to shovel the driveway. And then it just does something completely different to the brain. It's like this new thing I learned in my sonic breath work. It's like you breathe in, you're safe to relax, and then you exhale, you're safe to let go. And it's like we don't have to take that time to relax, because we're so bombarded with the garbage that we see on social media, but also like the toxicity that we have in our job, our work environments. And it's so overwhelming that we don't take time to relax. Instead, when we get home, we want to, say, turn on the television or decompress another way, instead of like taking that one moment just to breathe and just to enjoy that moment's peace. Because we don't get a moment's peace anymore, because we work all day and then we come home and we might have families, but there's not that time to like decompress. You're constantly busy. And when you're busy, I find that you burn out and you don't have time to come back and get into that cause size. Instead, you're stuck in that effect side because there's no slowdown. It's go, go, go.
Right. And again, that's programming. So we
Yes.
have to do and be busy all the time, right? Rather than recognizing that we're not human doings, we're human beings, and it is important to just be. And yet the programming in society is, well, that's lazy. And it's not lazy, it's healthy. It's le leading us forward in a positive way that actually gets us to our goal so much faster than if we stay in the do. Repeating the same thing over and over again, which of course is the definition of insanity, repeating the same thing over and again and expecting a different result. So you talked about breath work, which I love. I also would love for you to share your simple reset, people that can actually do, that they can take away from this podcast, 3 minutes, step by step, so listeners can leave with something usable today.
Honestly, it's just really about breath. Like breath really, it does something to your parasympathetic nervous system, and it just brings you to a sense of calm. If you breathe in for four and then you exhale for eight, you feel so relaxed and just a sense of calm. Like if I'm having a moment where I'm starting to become reactive or overwhelmed, I'll do the four and eight, and it's amazing how quick and fast that you just shift and you slow down and you just relax and you stop thinking about what's going on and you just take that moment, because it's also something that's amazing is you can almost touch your higher self if you go deep enough. And if you just allow yourself to be in that mindset where you're contemplating just relaxing, you'd be amazed on what you can get for insights, but also just your brain just feels like it cools down and your heart just slows down and your body just, you get that chill for a minute, but that chill is actually to regulate you because you're overheated, you're angry, or you're overwhelmed with anxiety and you're getting hot and you're starting to breathe really heavy. If you do the four in and the eight out, it completely takes everything that you were just feeling and take it down to a one instead of a 10.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love the science behind why that works. If we think about the fact that if we're running away from a lion or a tiger, which is what our brain, our lizard brain, is programmed to do to keep us safe, then we're going to be panting because we're running as fast as we can. And then we're supposed to get to safety. And at that point, the parasympathetic system just automatically kicks in. And in today's world, that's not happening. And this breath technique that you've recommended is so powerful because when we exhale for longer than our inhale, it's telling our brain, oh, I must be safe. I can turn on the parasympathetic nervous system and get out of fight or flight. Because when you're running and panting, there's no way your exhale is longer. And that's why the exhale for eight is so key to the success of this breath work and calming the entire nervous system, which again, when we're in our do world, we're running around and the fight or flight system's turned on, and we're not supposed to live in that. We're supposed to use it to get to safety, and we're supposed to live in our parasympathetic system. And as you and I both know, not enough people are living in their parasympathetic nervous system. And so I totally agree that it's such a powerful tool that listeners can take away and implement and use it as much as they need. And the good news is, you can't overdose on it.
No, it's the one thing about breath is you can do it over and over again. And it's the beautiful thing about it too is it's not something you have to pay for or anything. It's just something you do regularly, but we don't do it the right way. We do it the wrong way. We shallow breathe instead of the way we're supposed to breathe, which is slowing it down and getting it more relaxed and getting your heart on the right level. And even like if you do like a cold plunge, you're freezing and your body's in shock. But if you do that 4 and 8, you actually can stand being in something that's cold, is like say minus 20 water. And it's amazing what it can do for your body as well. Like even just doing a cold plunge, if you're feeling overheated, take a cold shower. I guarantee you'll cool off pretty quick.
And it's so interesting you say that because I was at a conference where I had the opportunity to do a cold plunge in a thermal bath, and I'd never done it before. And I was so grateful for the coach that was there to coach people through it. And guess what they used to coach us through it? Your breath. And I got in and it was so cold. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to stay in here for 3 minutes. And I started doing the breathing. And guess what? I ended up staying in there for 5 minutes. And then they asked me to get out so the next person could have an opportunity to give it a shot. And so you're absolutely right that, by the end with the breath, I was absolutely able to be in that. And again, another great tool, cold plunging, to support our health and our nervous system.
Absolutely.
So I love how you also say that the enemy is not your partner or your job. It is the fear underneath. And as we've said at the very beginning, you work with people who are living in that fear. So let's just dive deeper into that and talk about how you help people through the process, what tools you use, and if you have any examples of having worked with clients that had, really remarkable transformations that you would like to share, obviously not their names, please go ahead and share those experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the NLP and everything, I kind of made myself in a program where it combines NLP with QHHT,
And I'll
and
just
we
stop
do
you there
some.
for 1 second to define QHHT for those who aren't aware of what that is.
Sure. Quantum healing hypnosis technique. So it's a program that Dolores Cannon developed as she worked with her clients, and then she decided to open up schools to teach these what she worked with her clients on. And it's basically doing a communicating with the subconscious mind, but you basically do it through a past life regression as well. So a lot of people that aren't aware, your soul never dies and it's constantly on a mission. And it's traveled from body to body, and it's amazing. If you've read some of Dolores's books, she talks about when she interviews her clients that the soul has been, say, during the time of the Roman Empire or during the time of Jesus Christ. Like our soul has been in multiple places. You might be considered ancient and you're not even aware of it, or you're just a baby soul and this is your first time on this planet. And you're just learning now what it's like to have a human experience. For the rest of us that have.
I'm going to stop
Pardon?
you there for 1 second to interject
Go
because
ahead.
until a few years ago, I truly thought that I was a baby soul and the first time on this planet until I dove deeper into this work and realized, oh no, I've, been a healer, been a witch, been a white wizard in many lifetimes. And it's so fascinating to be able to learn about who we were in past lives, which is this work that you do and that Dolores did.
Absolutely. I mean, it kind of gives you a sense of understanding with, especially with like what's going on in the world and like all the darkness and everything that is happening. Wouldn't it be interesting if you found out that you were a part of the darkness, say that happened in the Second World War, or you were a part of an empire that destroyed civilizations, and then you understand that, and then you look at what's going on in the world now, and it's like, okay, how am I any different from what the people are doing right now from what I did in my past life as my soul did? So it gives you that understanding. It also gives you empathy for even the people that are doing harmful things to others, because you realize, okay, well, I've done harmful things too. So it's like you think about life as a game. And basically when I work with my clients, we do a mixture of quantum healing hypnosis technique and neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy. And one of my clients had a really wonderful, successful session. And I gave you a recording to listen to before you go to sleep at night. Basically, so your subconscious keeps getting the programming over and over again, so it gives you new programming to listen to. And when this woman first came to meet me, she had issues with her ovaries and her cycle stopped. So after we did her session, she listened to the recording. 4 months later, she contacted me and said her cycle started again.
It's
And I was like,
beautiful.
how? And it's just amazing. Like, and she realized that she was holding on to unprocessed emotions, and those unprocessed emotions were attacking her ovaries.
Right. And causing stress on the system, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And the body is innately built to heal itself. We just have to create the environment for it to be able to do so. And that stressed out, living in that stressed out sympathetic nervous system is definitely not the environment for the body to heal itself because the body can't heal in that environment at all. It needs to be in this parasympathetic system. So amazing. I love the work that you do. And just when you were talking about, in past lives, I've done awful things, and it allows me to look at things that are awful now with a different set of eyes. The judgment has gone away. And the other piece of it, and I'm going to bring in some of the NLP training too, is that everybody is doing the best they can with the resources they have. And so, from your perspective, something might look awful, whereas to them, that's the best they can do with the resources they have. And just an example of that, for instance, is, a drug addict breaking into someone's car to get money so they can get the next hit. That looks awful to most people. However, that is their unconscious mind keeping them alive because without that next hit, they don't get to live. And so that's the unconscious mind driving them to do the best they can with the resources they have. And the other piece that I'm going to bring in is that beautiful book called The Little Soul in the Sun and The Little Soul on the Earth. They talk about the fact that our destiny on Earth and our mission is chosen before we ever come here. And we're coming here to learn lessons. And if we are choose to come here to learn the lesson of forgiveness, well, somebody has to betray us so that we can forgive them. And so that's someone who loves you enough to help you learn the lesson, choosing to betray you. When we get down here, we forget all of that. And then we look at them like, how dare you betray me? How awful are you? What a bad person you are. And yet they're not, because they're helping you learn your lesson. And so I think all of that is such beautiful learning that people can have when they do a session with you and understand who they were. And then it shifts their perspective on what's going on in the world today.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, we all have karma that we have to pay off. And it's just in this life, I was supposed to learn compassion and forgiveness. I learned the total opposite. I learned how to be narcissistic, defensive, aggressive, angry. But it was because of what I did in my past life that I had to basically go through all the trauma as a child, and even as an adult. Like, the situations that I was placed in was because it was my choice. It was my part of my contract, because I wanted to do it to pay back the karma that I accumulated from, say, a past life.
Yeah. And the other piece to that is that the universe will never give up teaching you the lesson that you came here to learn, which is why you're na now able to learn those lessons. Like, you had to pay back the karma, and the universe didn't go, oh, well, he's not learning the lessons, I'm going to stop attempting to teach them. It still kept having you go through experiences so that you could learn compassion, et cetera, et cetera. And now you have. And you know that that's always an ongoing journey.
Yeah, it never stops. When it stops, usually when it stops is when you're done. Because if it's like playing a video game, you get past one boss, you gotta go to the next boss, and then next boss, and then when you finally beat the game, then you're done. So it's
Right.
like the same with life. When you beat life, you're done.
And
You
then
no
you move on
longer
to
need it.
the next version of you in the next life, in the next place, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So I love this, and I love all the work that you've done and continue to do. And I didn't know you before. However, in the time frame that I've known you, as you've come through our trainings and had the honor to witness your own transformation, and even with all the work you've done, the continued downloads and ahas that you have, And the person you are today, I know, is a very different person to the one you were before. And the place that you can now come from and share this work with others, having gone through it all yourself, is such a powerful place and makes you such an incredible healer and practitioner. So thank you for all that you do in the world and your podcast and sharing this message so that more people know this is available as an option for them in their healing journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's one thing I learned about life is it can be a fun game or it can be a hard game. Why not make it fun? Like, it's like when I go to speak now, I used to be terrified of speaking, and why not just make it fun, just tell your story, and when you actually stop and just enjoy, you'd be amazed on what response you usually get.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. So, Andrew, one thing that I love to ask all the guests that come on my show is, what does don't wait for your wake-up call mean to you?
Oh, that's simple. Like, just don't push yourself to the limit for one, and take my examples for sure and my experience. And two, just take care of you. And when you start to take care of you, then you start to actually love others. 'Cause if you can't love yourself, you can't love others. So don't wait for your wake up call is basically like, do your self care, do your work on yourself, do any form of fun, enjoy life. Don't live life to exist, live life to live.
That's beautiful. I love it. And if people want to get hold of you and learn how they can work with you, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Well, my website's under construction right now, so just reach out to me on Instagram. It's got my book and my YouTube channel there as well. So yeah, it's Beyond Transcendence with Andrew at Instagram.com.
Perfect. So I'll have that in the show notes for people. And is there any last word or words of wisdom that you would like to share with the audience as we wrap this episode?
The greatest opponent is you, and you're going to face it daily. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. And when those bad days, just remember why you're doing this to begin with. Remember why you're here. Remember what your purpose is. And also give yourself a break. Don't blame yourself for everything that's happened to you. These things in life that have happened to you were happened for a reason, but you don't have to fall into that victim mindset. Just understand that these lessons are teaching you something, and they're bringing you to a greater awareness, to a bigger opportunities, to more fun, to meet more wonderful people, to expand your horizons, and to live life to the fullest.
I love that. Beautifully said. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Andrew, sharing your wisdom, your experiences. I truly appreciate it. And to the audience, thank you so much for being here, for tuning in each and every week, for wanting to grow and wanting to focus on your health, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. You get all of that here. And I thank you for joining us and share this episode with someone that you know needs to hear it. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.